We'll begin our study today by turning to Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. By all means, if you have access to a Bible for these studies, I invite you to follow along with me in the scripture. I want you to see what the Bible says. It will not do you any good, or anyone else any good for that matter, to simply be able to say, well, I know what my preacher said, or my church teaches this. The important thing is, what does the Bible say? Now then, as we have proceeded through the messages to the seven churches, we've come to the last of the seven, the church that was located in Laodicea, a congregation that Jesus evaluated as lukewarm. He said, I would you were either cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The word spew means to throw up, to vomit. Certainly, if anything were to make God sick, I think it's a tragedy that it would be a group of so-called Christians. And yet we find him saying exactly that. Now, as I pointed out, these various churches are very much with us today. Well, they might not have those names, but the character and the nature of these seven churches are not that difficult to find in our society today, both in this country and around the world. The Laodicean church, unfortunately, is very prevalent in today's culture. The emphasis is on the external, the building, our programs, our equipment, our wonderful facilities. It's funny, they made a fiction movie about, I don't even know the name of the movie. Kevin Costner was in it, I remember that, and it was something about a bunch of ghosts of baseball players. If you build the field, they will come. But that kind of idea, that kind of philosophy, if you build it, they will come. We're not talking about building a baseball stadium. For that matter, we're not even talking about building a church. You build a building that's fine enough, and people will come to fill it. No, they won't. And you're a fool or selling something if that's what you're pushing. My friend, the only reason people go to church, now when I say church, I mean the kind of church services that you find in the scripture, the biblical kind of a church service, is to hear the word of God. Now, on the other hand, you'll find many religious organizations calling themselves churches who will put on quite a show, both in terms of skits and drama and comedians and music and worship teams and all the rest of that, in order to attract people to come to their little soiree, to come to their church. Oh, my friend, whose church is it? Is it the Lord's, or is it yours? Now, if it's the Lord's, it's going to line up with what the Bible says, and if it doesn't line up with what the Bible says, don't bother even calling it a church. You will note here in verse 19, after he has laid them open in his evaluation, he says to the Laodiceans in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Note, please, that he is speaking ostensibly in each of these seven instances to churches, theoretically at least, made up of born-again believers. And yet, because of the condition, the spiritual condition these people are in, he tells them to repent. Now, he makes a statement here. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, you'll notice the word rebuke. It's a very stinging word when it comes down on us. We don't like to be rebuked. In other words, we don't like to be corrected. We don't like for somebody to say, hey, that's wrong. We don't want to hear that. We don't like it. Number one, we don't want to think we'd do anything wrong. Number two, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? The automatic knee-jerk reflex reaction of the old nature comes. What do you mean? Rebuke. But Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Chasten is not punish. There is a difference. Chastening and discipline go hand in hand, but punishment doesn't enter into this. Chastening, as with the term discipline, is for the purpose of correcting inappropriate behavior. If something is not right and it needs to be corrected, you apply chastening. If a child is disobedient, there needs to be chastening. Now, I realize this is not politically correct. However, we have had a generation or two that have come on the scene that have been without correction, and if I'm not mistaken, I think historically you will find they have been a bloodier, more violent, less focused group than has ever been on the scene before. Children who can kill parents without blinking an eye, whose only comment is, "I didn't think there'd be so much blood." Young people who will gun down their peers in classrooms. Why? There was no correction. There was no rebuke. Inappropriate behavior, instead of being addressed and corrected, was allowed to go unchecked. And in some cases, for instance, in the situation out in Columbine, not only was it unchecked, it was encouraged. If you get into the situation in Columbine and find the curriculum that was being used, they had what they called a death curriculum. From the sixth grade on, they had to write their own will. There was a fixation on the part of the staff with this kind of thing. There were film projects that had to be produced by each student before they could graduate. And for the majority, and I mean the vast majority, it came one of two ways. The film was either about sex or about violence. If it was about violence, it had to do with exploding the school building and had to do with shooting down, gunning down people in the schools. Lo and behold, a couple of kids actually did it, and everybody throws up their hands and says, "Oh, how did this happen? What made these children do it?" Excuse me. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." They had been trained, and they executed it. They put it into practice. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Oh, that might hurt their self-esteem. Better their self-esteem should take a body shot than to spend eternity away from God. An eternity, the Bible says, in torment, in hell. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The word zealous, as I pointed out on the last broadcast, means hot. The command is to become hot. You will remember, he says, "I know thy works that thou," this is verse 15, "I know thy works that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Be zealous. Don't stay lukewarm. Get heated up. Get on fire for God. We could say it a number of ways, but I think you get the idea. "As many as I love..." Now, wait a minute. There, let's approach this from a little different angle. If you find an individual or group of individuals who claim to be Christians, I'm not talking about they necessarily claim to be church members, but I mean if they're going to claim to be Christians, there are some things that are axiomatically true. Always, always, always you will find this. If there is sin in the life, well, some people get all irate, "Who are you to say what's sin?" Excuse me. Sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is going against. Sin is missing the mark. What God has said to do something else. Now, if there is somebody who claims to be a Christian and yet the life does not measure up to the scripture, in other words, there is disobedience, areas of disobedience, areas controlled by sin. If you find that individual is not experiencing chastening, now, what do you mean by chastening? Well, there are some various number of ways you can be corrected. I think the most obvious and the least painful is probably for the Holy Spirit to convict your conscience, kind of kick it over, and it bothers you. Well, you know you've done something wrong, you go ahead and get it straight. But sometimes people ignore, and I won't say sometimes, many times people ignore their conscience, and then what? Well, if they're in church and the preacher's preaching what he ought to, then the scripture will prick their conscience. The Bible says what you're doing is wrong. If they pay attention to that, well and good. But if not, then God has to move on to more direct means, if you will. You'll find in the lives of people who are really born-again folks who have made a profession of faith, they were genuine in that, but have grown cold and lax, and there are things in their lives not right, you're going to find there is an untoward proportion of unexpected expenses. Dental appointments, accidents that require runs to the emergency room, maybe not life-threatening, but you got to have some stitches. Sickness, car accidents, what seems to be just awkwardness. You fall and break a thumb, sprain an ankle. Things that just definitely are not going right. What is God going to have to do to get your attention? Did you ever wonder about that? Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Somebody says, well, he doesn't chasten me. Well, there's one, two things must be true then. Either you're just perfect beyond belief, or he doesn't love you. And quite frankly, in all honesty, I've never met anybody that was that good that God didn't have to step in and correct things from time to time. My friend, if I were you, and I did not know that God was rebuking me from time to time, if I were never aware of God's chastening hand on my life, I think I would be concerned. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Does God love you? Does the Lord love you? Does he love you enough to correct you when you're wrong? Think about it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. A passage that a lot of people, I knew this, but they forgot that it didn't know it was in Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And he goes on, but let's just stay with verse 20 for a moment. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I remember hearing songs from the time I was a young kid. Usually, unfortunately, it tended to be in Southern gospel music. Words to songs that, well, they rhymed. But in later years, I began to understand they didn't match what the scripture said. Old song, I searched and I searched for a road that led to glory. No, you didn't. Well, the song said, no, but you didn't. In Romans chapter 3, verse 11, at the end of the verse, it says, there is none that seeketh after God. You didn't search. You might have played with religion, but you weren't looking for the God of the Bible, but he was looking for you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. My time is gone for today, and we will come back to this on the next broadcast. I hope you'll join me then. Continue, my friend, to study for yourself so that when others ask, you can tell them what the Bible says.